Podium is a new-to-market sports nutrition brand. Their founder, Jeremy Osborne, is here to tell us all about their affogato-flavored pre-workout supplements, supply chain disruptions, COVID chaos, and so much more. Welcome to the Brand Manual.
All right, today on the Brand Manual, we got a real treat today. We have Jeremy Osborne, and he is about maybe this afternoon, he's going to launch this new business called Podium Nutrition Supplements. And Jeremy, I just want to say thanks for coming on and giving us your time. We're supremely excited about new businesses launching out into the world. So tell us a little bit about the brand. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing. Just kind of take it from the top.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me. Appreciate your time. Love to talk about Podium any chance that we get lately. So this is going to be a fun hour. Podium is a sports nutrition brand that is the result of a lot of brainstorming between my business partner, Paul Haverland, who was early in at Nutribolt, you know, sort of a local, grew up here in College Station, ended up working there later in his career, and then left, started another sports nutrition supplement company that was really popular. He found himself sort of semi-retired in late 18, 19, and then I kind of found myself in the same boat. I sold the business at the end of 2019, and we were kind of hanging out, had some mutual friends in town, had never met each other, but we had people telling us, have you met Paul Haverland? Have you met Jeremy Osborne? And it happened enough that I finally said, can somebody like introduce me so I can get this over with? So we finally had lunch in January of 2020 at the end, near the end of the month. And made jokes about, you know, this COVID virus and what might come of it in the rest of the world, having no idea what we were in store for in 2020. But I've been an avid CrossFitter for about 10 years, work at a local gym here, CrossFit Aggieland, start every morning there. Big fan of the methodology, of the community that it builds, fan of athletes. And I said, if you really are serious about taking another stab at a sports nutrition brand, no one's really ever accomplished much in this space. No one's ever sort of come in organically and authentically and sold products that were efficacious, that were dosed properly for the types of working out that CrossFitters do. So from that original concept and conversation, it just sort of snowballed. I reached out to a couple of influencers in the space, Paul's recommendation, saying, these are the types of people we need. I made a list of who I would go at. And we had conversations with them like this over Zoom for a few months. And really, it started to come together pretty quickly. There were two influencers named Marston Sawyers and Heber Cannon, who are the Buttery Bros, probably the two biggest vloggers or YouTubers in the space. They had worked at CrossFit HQ for a number of years and had left and were doing their own thing. And pretty much have a channel that is sustained by episodes of them going to different competitions, different gyms, interviewing and working out with different athletes. And so over the course of 10 or 12 years, they had really met everyone, had made a big impact in the space. And we said, we like what you're doing. We think that you make this accessible to everyone. We want you to be a part of the brand. And probably from the first or second call we had, they were in and they started bringing athletes to us. And that's how we met Matt Fraser through them.
Right. So tell me about the pitch that you did to those guys. I mean, the, you know, nutrition supplements, that is a pretty large market that is a very well established. And there's a lot of players in that space. So did they have any questions about the product itself?
They had lots of questions. I'm sort of surprised that it happened as easily as it did, because our pitch was not incredibly refined at that moment. It was, you know, Paul's done this a lot. We both had a lot of success in business. We think we can build a brand, create products, and scale it in a way that would be really beneficial to you being a part of it. So I guess our approach was more of asking them what they would want to see. And that's part of why I think no one has succeeded in this space before, is because people have come in, they've sort of bought their way into the space, they pay for athletes, and they just sell them whatever that they're formulating. And in traditional sports nutrition, you get a lot of products that are sort of pump related, things that have a lot of stimulant in them for pre-workout. And those just aren't right. Really the types of products that people in this space need or are looking for. One of the first calls we had, they said, we like salt. take a lot of salt before and after workout. That's not something that you see at those levels. And that was something that we pursued with them really early on. And so one of our products we're launching is Hydroid Salt. It's a BCAA electrolyte product that has more salt than you would typically see in a product like that. But it's what they asked for. We got that feedback a lot from the community. And so that's something that we're going to have on the shelf when we launch.
I love that. It sounds like y'all are listening oriented.
For sure. Yeah, we are really, I've described the brand as athlete centric. And Paul always makes the point that we have these influencers, we have really exceptional athletes who have been willing to sort of take on the Podium brand. They're taking the products, they're selling the products. And if we're not creating things that they are taking in their daily life, then those posts aren't going to be organic. They aren't going to be genuine, and people are going to see through that. So really, we've asked every step along the way, do you like this product? Do you like the way it's formulated? What would you like to see? What would you not like to see? And then when it comes to flavor, we're all over that with them. So we were just in Atlanta about a week and a half ago with Matt Fraser and Justin Medeiros, the latest winner of the CrossFit Games, saying, what's your favorite flavor? You know, anything you can imagine, and we can create it here in the lab. And so we sat for about 8 hours in a conference room next to the lab, the flavoring lab at our contract manufacturer. And they just brought in iteration after iteration of whatever flavor they wanted to taste until they were happy with it. And it's really a cool experience to go. And, you know, it's not always fun to drink pre-workout for 8 hours, but you know, if you break it out with a little whey or some hydro and salt, it can be fun to see the flavor, the color, everything, the aroma develop over time. And you can really dial it in and say, I'd like to see a little bit more of this, a little bit less of that. And they come back and it's spot on every time they make a blend.
You know, it's fascinating. The modern American consumer that is working on not just fitness, but like very high performance fitness. It's fascinating to see what has happened over the last 20 years, where you might have had people who were like attempting Olympic trials, and now it's made its way into our actual neighborhoods. And right. That it's been explosive. And, you know, you could probably tell I'm no, you know, what? Olympian, but I have a lot of friends who do CrossFit, and just it has been very interesting as an outsider watching the industry explode, see the multiplication of all these gyms everywhere. And it's fascinating that you guys are really honing a product specifically for this very thin slice. I mean, it's not typically, you know, your Planet Fitness goer. It's somebody who is fairly extreme in that pursuit. So I understand, you know, using influencers, but how is it that you're tailoring that message to that group of people who have so many products on a shelf that they could reach for? I mean, there's a certain point where you can't possibly put more stuff into your body or it becomes counterproductive. So how are you, from a messaging standpoint, hitting that?
Sure. I guess the answer would be in multiple points. You have to establish some legitimacy. And so I think that's why influencers are important ambassadors for the brand. When you have Matt Fraser, the guy who's won the CrossFit Games 5 times, the most dominant athlete in the history of the sport, his seal of approval means a lot. He obviously knows what he's doing, you know, and he's not going to put his name on something that's not well formulated, that's not made under good manufacturing practices, that's in any way questionable. So between him and Marston Heber, Justin, Craig Ritchie, and others, I think we really have established legitimacy. So there's a baseline there where we have a lot of trust in the community by who is associated with the brand. Second, I sort of think about it in terms of when Tony Blair was elected prime minister, you know, of the Labour Party, but he said, we're all Thatcherites now, even though he was sort of opposed to her policies. We're all CrossFitters now, whether we know it or not. That methodology has worked its way into every single type of workout. So if you go to a global gym like Gold's, you're going to see Gold's Fit, where they're doing a lot of high intensity interval training. If you go to Orange Theory, you're seeing an adaptation of what CrossFit was. So we're really at a watershed moment for that brand brand where if we can really dial in here with this core group, I think there's the ability to expand really quickly. And people will look to the space to determine what products to take. So even if they're not your traditional CrossFitter that's going to their affiliate every morning or it's doing it in their garage, they're watching what's going on in the community. They're listening to these athletes. They're listening to what people are saying, the coaches, other people they know, their friends, their neighbors. And this product is going to rise up through all the other noise and products that are on the shelf. We're confident about the formulation, who we've partnered with to actually manufacture the product, and then again with who we're associating with the brand, that people both in the community and outside of it looking in will see what we're doing here and it will resonate with them.
It's interesting that Fraser really had to, and these other influencers really had to trust that you were going to create that product. They had everything to lose, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's an honor in a way for them to sort of put that much trust in us. I'm not sure that I would have done that. They said we were vetted beforehand, and I believe that they did that. They didn't just sign on blindly, but we took them early on before we announced the brand to Atlanta. We toured the contract manufacturing facility. We talked to them about our previous business experience. We talked to them about how we wanted to run the company, what our pillars and principles of management would be. And it was important to them. I think they were hearing the things they needed to hear. I think we were demonstrating a successful track record too. And that's important. That's one of the things I've noticed versus last time or at previous companies that I've started and sold. You really can't underestimate the attraction and the ease of coming to market if you have a successful track record. People want to associate themselves with winning teams, with winning products and companies. So you can look and say, okay, I started a company and we became a unicorn in our space and we were top 30 on the Inc. 5000 list, top 30 on an Entrepreneur 360 list. You list out all these things. We're one of America's best workplaces. People can get comfortable pretty quickly if you have a winning track record.
Those things really grease the skids a little bit. Yeah, that's great.
It's good to have. Yeah.
Yeah.
So here's what I'm hearing. You have a booming industry. This the whole industry is getting more and more expansive with bringing in not just elite athletes, but more into the household. Mm-hmm. Mathematically, analytically, you have a high likelihood of success. I'm sure that your projections and your the tea leaves are all saying really good things. What's the downside here? What are you facing that this is no business is easy?
Well, first they got right over the hurdle of COVID, which that's no small thing.
That's what I was going to say. This has been a challenge logistically the entire way, from not really being able to get together or travel much in 2020. I made one trip to Salt Lake to meet Heber and Marston, and I think we were all super nervous the entire time. And
right.
Things get delayed. Global supply chains are completely out of whack. And so getting the raw ingredients in order to make the product, getting the containers, the packaging produced and shipped, it's not just sourcing the material and getting the work done. It's a matter of shipping as well. So we're shipping over the Pacific, we're manufacturing in Atlanta, so we're coming through the Panama Canal. There have been delay after delay after delay with boats, and you get moved because someone's paying more to get on the boat. Then you get a delay at the port of Savannah or the port of LA, which we didn't even want to try to deal with. It's pushed us back by several months. And I would say, there's no guarantee of success, right? There's always risk. We can talk about that some more, but certainly in terms of just bringing the product to market before we ever get to the likelihood of success, overcoming the hurdle of COVID and the disruption of supply chains and the winter storm that we had, it was kind of an emotional experience just to see it being produced in Atlanta last week and thinking, okay, we've been talking about this for 18 months and finally it's real. It's sealed. I took some home. I opened it one morning before a workout. I just thought I never thought this day would come.
It's happening. Yeah, it's happening.
It's happening.
Amazing. Yeah. That's got to be a really fun moment. That's got to feel really good.
It was. My background has typically been in B2B. I was in oil and gas most of my career. And so it's a little different in that you don't ultimately deal with much of the public. You don't have a product that you bring that you can find on a retail shelf or buy on a website. And so this is new for me, and it's been a really cool experience.
Those tangible moments, they mean a lot.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. Amazing. So tell us about the launch. You're about to go.
We are. This is the week. We are launching in the US online. And I keep having this dream that we don't sell anything, but everyone tells me I'm crazy. And from the comments and the likes and everything we're getting, the chatter on social media, I think I'm probably just overthinking it. But I think that the concern on the opposite end is, are we going to sell out on day one? And we already have more orders in the queue. And that's one of the things when it comes to taking risk or what keeps you up at night in terms of building a business. That first order is fine. You sort of have in your mind, okay, this is what we're going to spend. I know that this is how much I'm willing to lose on this deal. And so you put the order in, you anticipate that people will buy it. But really, with the way supply chains are right now, you have to do a big gut check and place that second order for the replenish before you know if anyone's ever going to buy any product at all. So that's really been a test of my entrepreneurial mettle, because that's not something I've really had to do in my career. And luckily we have a really good retail partner, and they've placed large orders. And so we're sort of leaning on that a lot to get some economies of scale. But when it comes to D2C, when it comes to other sales channels, it's really just us sort of saying we're willing to bet on ourselves here and the product and the people we've partnered with, and we're going to have it ready to go because people are going to be there to buy it.
The future belongs to the brave. I mean, you guys are very actually, much, yeah. You know, taking big risk and big swings. It's pretty cool.
All right. So these are quick plug kind of questions. But if I'm a casual consumer, mm-hmm. and I've been married to my pre-workout for the last year, and I'm thinking about making a change, tell me why I should care, and also tell me where to buy it.
Sure. All the products will be available initially on our website, 321podium.com. You can go there. Very slick website, lots of different purchasing options, and we're going to have flat rate shipping. So load up and let us pay for your shipping if you want to buy one of every flavor and product. Our pre-workout is really well formulated, like I said. People who do high intensity interval training. It has some stimulants, but not too much. It has a really robust blend of nootropic type ingredients. And so it keeps you focused. It keeps you calm. I can tell you, as someone who hasn't always been a big pre-workout fan, I drink a little too much coffee to sort of throw it on top of it, but it really does keep you focused. And we were sampling some flavors here too late, about 3 p.m. the other night. And I was wired. I was focused. There was nothing that I couldn't have accomplished that afternoon, night into, 3 a.m. So take it early if you're going to take it, but it is very effective and it is very good. And it doesn't really give you the jitters. It really does give you some focus and determination to make it through that workout. Hydro and Salt, it's a great product for everyone. It's good for people doing HIIT training. It's good for long distance endurance. You can have it before, during, or after any kind of workout. It's just a really good recovery hydration type product. And then the whey protein, is what it is. Post-workout, it tastes great. It has lots of good protein in it. Everything is completely documented on the label. There's no proprietary blends or hidden ingredients. So what you see is what you get.
And you're telling me Matt Frazier himself helped pick out the recipes. And
he did.
Gives a stamp of approval on this thing.
He did. Nothing happens without him being on board. He's a big espresso guy. He sort of travels with his really fancy espresso machine. And so coffee and ice cream, originally affogato, that was the first flavor that we developed because we knew he would like it. And we added a little bit more espresso to it. So it's got a nice aroma. It's got a great taste. It's my favorite too. So I think everyone's really going to like it.
I have a couple of teenage boys who probably just need that pre-workout stuff just to get them out of bed and into the school day. So
we'll do it. Yeah. Mix some up in the morning. Have everybody share some.
That's right.
Jeremy, you had me at affogato. That's pretty great, man.
It's good. Good stuff.
Well, thanks for being on. Man, we are very excited for you, and we'll be checking
Thank
in.
You.
We'll be following along.
Great.
We wish you the best, man.
Thanks. Can't wait for you to try it. So we'll get you some samples soon.
All right. All right. I'm going to hold you to it.
Take care.
Very good. Bye now. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Brand Manual Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We'd be super grateful if you shared. You can find the other episodes on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'll see you next time on the Brand Manual Podcast.